Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto your holy name, O Yah. Father, we thank you, Father, for the blessing of life, health, and strength today, Father. We thank you for this beautiful Shabbat day that you have set us apart for, Father, to enjoy and to bask in its glory, Father. Father, I pray for all my brothers and my sisters, my Zakanes, my Zakanas, my Enes, that, Father, you look upon us with mercy, Father, and favor and loving kindness, Father. We thank you first and foremost for the healing that you have brought within the midst of our congregation, Father, and showing us, Father, that just like your eye is on the sparrow, Father, your eye is always upon your children, Father. And this little house of Beth Yahweh, as well as the universal house of Beth Yahweh, Father, we just thank you, Father, for the things that you can do, Father, that no man, no flesh can do, Father. We know that your angels guide their hands, Father, and that you place that wisdom within their mind, Father. Even those that deny you, Father, and would scoff that you exist, Father, that scoff that you made all of this creation, Father, all even that individual, Father, who denies you, Father, that you have created him, Father. You are merciful unto that person. And we just thank you, Father, for showing us that mercy, Father. And I pray for all my brothers, my sisters, again, my Zakanes, the young people within the congregation who feel like they are lost and adrift at sea, Father, and that they're just riding the waves of life, Father. But you know what, Father? As the song says, just like a ship without a sail, Father, we have to have faith, Father, that you will still lead and you will guide those waters, Father, to safe shores, Father. And that, Father, if we allow you to be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, Father, that you will always, Father, even in the midst of the darkest night, Father, you will make a way. Not that you will make a way. You have already made a way for the ones, Father, who love you and who are dedicated to you, Father. Father, we just have to hold on to that faith, Father, just a little ember of faith, Father, until we can get to a place, Father, where that fire can be lit and become an all-consuming fire as you are, Father. The world looks dark in a lot of ways, Father, but those of us who believe in you and believe in your word, Father, are hopeful that we will see the fruit of our labors, Father, even if it's not on this side and in this flesh, Father, that one day we will see, Father, come to pass your word, Father, and we will see, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Rabbi Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach, is the Adon. He is Lord. He is Master, Father. And Father, if we lose hope, if we lose our way, Father, Father, lead us as a good shepherd does back to that path, Father, and back to green pastures, Father, where we can eat of the goodness of your word, Father, drink of the fatness of the milk of your word, Father, and then grow, Father, into being able to eat a full meal of your word, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, who you sent to die for us, who you sent to redeem us, and to also save us, Father. In his name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And family, before I get to yammering on, can I just get a quick text to, because it has been a testy morning, a test to, that I am coming through clear through Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to assume that I haven't heard contrary. Even though we are late, and I apologize for that. You know, one of the good things about making mistakes in life is that you learn from them. You learn from the mistakes. So I made a mistake with Blog Talk this morning and did something in creating a lesson that caused a lesson to be a little screwed up. Toda, my brothers. Lima Charlie, hallelujah. Toda, Akeem. Yeah, I made a mistake this morning with creating the lesson, and as a result, I had to scrap the 11 o'clock lesson and create the 11:30 lesson, but then I learned a few things from the mistake that I made, so hallelujah, that in the future, I won't have to hit panic mode, which I did this morning. Like, oh my goodness, I done screwed up, and now there won't be no lesson for today. Well, there's alternatives, but you know, not the normal way. That we normally do going through Blog Talk. We always have the prayer line as an alternative. But one of the things that I feel bad about, that if it is a lesson that touches someone and they want to go back and listen to it, that there won't be an archive of a lesson to go back and listen to it. But hallelujah, all praise, glory, and honor to Yahweh that he was able to make a way through my era. And now I've learned from the era that that Blog Talk is a good system that has some fail safes in it. When a dummy like me messes up, that you could go back and correct those errors. So hallelujah, all praise, glory, and honor be to Yahweh family. And welcome again, once again, to Blog Talk Radio. This is your brother, Ahavel, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the fifth installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And today's message is, family, is he created us. You, me, we, to be as the clay of the potter in his hand. And the keynote message that obligated me today was from the book of Sirach and the Apocrypha 33:13. And it reads, as the clay of the potter in his hand, all his ways are according to his good pleasure. So men are in the hand of him that made them, to render to them according to his judgment, family. And I tell you, sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow, you know. And one of the things that I really enjoy about reading through different accounts that's in the quote-unquote apocrypha, but it's still part of, it is still the scripture, the base scripture. I don't know why they try to hide this from the masses, because there's so, as my brother was reading through a book last night, there's so much treasure in those books. And if you hide it from the people, you are hiding a good portion of Yah's word that he gave through these men in order for our edification. And I'm going to tell you, so many things that the Mashiach quoted from, so many things that Paul quoted from, so much information, and there's so much information in there that substantiates a lot of what the prophets wrote, substantiates a lot of what's in Revelation also, family, when you go through and you look at it. And even after my sister, Sister Donasia asked that question, we see, and that's reading through 2nd Esdras 70 is one of the things that even as a believer helped me, because for a long time I feared dying, even as a believer, even knowing that we had hope. I was afraid of the time that I would close my eyes in the sense of, well, what happens then? And knowing that he doesn't even leave that stone unturned for us, that he is even merciful enough to give us that belief, the comfort in knowing what happens when we close our eyes. And with that, that gave me the comfort and the assurance, not saying that I want to go anytime soon, but just knowing that he revealed those mysteries to us, that what happens when we close our eyes on this side and open them on the other side. And again, it takes away the fear. Now, I am still afraid of whether or not I will live my life in a way that's worthy to get that righteous tour, that good tour that says, hey, you know, you've made it to the other side and now you're going to rest in the habitation that he has supplied for us, that he has created for us. Like Yahushua said, in my father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. But to know that he's got a habitation waiting for us when we close our eyes, it gives me that assurance, knowing that if I do the right thing and if I live my life according to the way he does, and I don't go out there and I willfully sin against him, that could be my, for lack of a better term, fate when I pass away. But anyway, not getting off into all of that, family. Let's get into this lesson. I already delayed us for a half an hour, so thank you all for being patient with your brother Ahav all, and let's get started. So when you think about clay, my brother said mud, dirt, you know, when you think about it, you know, we walk on dirt and clay all the day long. And we don't pay attention to that insignificant thing that is underneath our feet. But it's one of the things that Abba told the prophet to do is to go and observe that. Observe what man can do with that clay, that moldable object, right? And when we think about it, why that? You know, why are we being molded? You know, what about us is being molded? You know, because why are we going through the things that we are going through? Any one of us that's going through something right now, you know, not everybody is strong right now. Some of us are having moments of frailty. Some of us are in need of prayer and being able to vent and get the things off of our chest. You know, some of the things that are in our heart, in our minds, in our soul, some of these things that keep us up at night, that have our thoughts captive throughout the day. And one of the things that I'm learning, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate against where you are in your life as a believer, where you are, you know, as far as your age or status or any of those things. That at any point, sometimes we have a time when we need to express what is going on in our heart. And always find somebody that you feel comfortable enough with to talk to about those things. You don't have to suffer in silence unless you are choosing to. There's always someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quote-unquote believer. You may have somebody in your life that you feel good enough or close enough to that you can talk to. Granted, you know, hopefully that person can give you pearls of wisdom from the word, but you know what? Sometimes it's not always, like what we learned with Yahushua giving the parables, it's not always about quoting a quote-unquote scripture, but sometimes it's about understanding the situation, maybe having been through a situation, and now you can navigate those waters. You know, you might feel like you are that ship without a sail at sea, but if you have that faith and you reach out and you talk to someone and know that with a surety that Abba Yah is going to lead you to someone who will help you be assured in your time of doubt, in your time of need, because his word says he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Now, sometimes the situation seems so gloomy, seems so dim that we might believe or convince ourselves that he has, but no, he has not. No, he has not. But as was stated, as a good parent, he's got to allow you to get your legs underneath you. You know, when you watch the development of a child, they go through stages. You start out as a child, you're just on your back. You are just on your back looking up at whatever's in up in front of you, right? You spend a good portion of your early part of development in that stage. Then as time goes on, and there's nothing that mother and father can do except observe in some instances at that point and attend to you when you cry out that you need something. You need some milk. You need some sustenance. You need some comfort. You need to be changed. That's all we can express in the beginning. Then as time goes on, we start to be able to realize that, hey, I can turn now. Then after that stage, we realize that, hey, I can crawl now. Then after that stage, we realize, hey, I can pull myself up now. Then after that stage, I can let go. After that stage, if I squat enough and you watch babies, they bounce themselves up and down, up and down. One of the greatest, they call this the granddaddy of all weightlifting exercises. It's not the bench press. It's not the shoulder press. It's not the lat pull down. It's not the pull up, the push up. It's the squat. The squat is considered the granddaddy, one of the greatest of all the exercises that you can do. But guess who does that? Little babies do that. Little babies do that to get their legs strong. Then they get the confidence where they can stand up and not hold on to something. Then they get the confidence that you could stand up, not hold on to something, and take a step. And then sometimes their hands hit the floor. Pow! Sometimes more than their hands hit the floor. They may fall on their face. But you know what the baby does? Has the confidence in them that Yahweh placed in them? That even though the first step may not work out, I got to keep trying. The first and second step may not work out, but I got to keep trying. The second, third, fourth, fifth step may not work out. I got to keep trying. Then eventually they realize that, whoa, I can go in a straight line for X amount of steps. Let me try turning around. And then when they try to turn around, plop, they come back down. Then they get to the point where they can take the steps, turn around, and now keep on going. Then after that, all you know what breaks loose for the parent in that household, because once they realize they can rip and run, they don't stop ripping and running for years on end. But it takes time for that physical molding to take place. And that's only one stage after the initial 40 weeks of our development in the womb. And as we learned or were taught recently, that 40 weeks always points to a new stage in your life. After Yahushua fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he came out a different person and was at that point ready to hit the road running like a nosebleed for his ministry. Moshe, 40 years in Pharaoh's place, 40 years under Jethro, 40 years leading the children of Israel, and then to come to find out he messed up and couldn't make it into the promised land. Eliyahu fasted for 40 days. And after he fasted those 40 days, he came out a different person. Because now you stripped yourself of everything. 40 years in the wilderness, Abba had to strip our foreparents of everything and realize, you know what? Y'all can't make it into the promised land. I need new wine that I can't put in them old wineskins. I can't put this in the promised land. I need warriors to go in the promised land. I don't need a bunch of complainers, a bunch of whiners. So he took Yahushua, the son of Nun, and said, you know what? You be strong, you be of good courage, and you lead these people. You've absorbed these people with Moshe. So you know what it takes now to when you get, and when Yahushua took them into the promised land, Moshe was nice, very nice. Moshe, the law, give it to everybody looks at, oh, the law is nothing but sin and death. No, Moshe was actually very merciful compared to Yahushua ben Nun when he went into the promised land. Yahushua ben Nun, when he went into the promised land, he ain't had no problem whooping they dumpy. But it took stages of development. Again, creating your physical form is the first step in your development that takes 40 weeks, and then you come out, hopefully, you come out healthy, right? But your physical growth at some point finishes. It becomes finite, your physical growth. For me, when I stopped growing in high school, that was it. 5'10 is all I got. Size 11 and a half shoes is all I got. Now, my waistline may grow. Sometimes it's 34, sometimes it's almost 40. But my height has not grown beyond that point. My shoe size has not grown beyond that point. So your physical growth at some point becomes finite. It stops. But you know what never stops? The molding of your heart, your mind, and your soul. That takes a lifetime of molding, reshaping, sometimes stamping down in order to rebuild what's most important to Yah within you. He doesn't care about your physical stature, your physical appearance. That it doesn't mean a hill of beans to him. But what Yahweh will constantly do throughout your lifetime is, as he says, prune you, as the husbandman prunes the vine, to create the fruits of the Spirit within you, to make sure that the fruits of the Spirit that develop within you are good fruits of the Spirit. But sometimes that cutting away process is painful. I'm not sure if the plants feel pain, but anytime we have to cut something out of our life, it's painful. Whether it's a vice that we have, whether it's food that we like to eat, or whether it's a person. And it doesn't mean that the struggle stops there. You don't come to Yahushua and automatically everything in your life is 180 degrees the other way. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's some things that you may not struggle with, like many of us may not struggle with our eating habits, but may have other vices that we struggle with, reoccurring thoughts that we struggle with. This is why Paul says, bring every thought under captivity. But it takes skill to bring these thoughts under captivity. Trust me, I know. at 52 and three quarters years of my life, I am just getting to the point now to really start to understand what's making me tick and actually can talk about it. Because for years and years and years and years, I lived in denial about who I was at the core. I remember back in high school, my brother told me, "You a time bomb." And I got angry and I proved his point. And he watched me get angry and laughed because I told you he was a time bomb. But I got angry that he told me I was a time bomb. But my brother, who was 13 years older than me, recognized that in me. He said, "Man, you ticking. You just waiting to explode." "What you mean? I'm ticking. I'm waiting to explode." Exactly what I just said. "Kid, is you ready to fight me because of what I said to you? And I just told you, you proved my point. Emotionally unhinged for the greater part of my life. Because I've masked and hid so much pain that I've held on to since I was a young person. Feeling unworthy. Feeling less than. Asking why? Why couldn't I be loved the way my sibling was loved? Why couldn't I be treasured the way I felt my sibling was treasured? Why didn't they love me the way I felt they loved my sibling?" Those are the things I struggle with. Still at times struggle with. Sometimes it still boils up to the surface. But being able to recognize where I lack and being able to understand why I feel that way, why I have the thoughts, have been very helpful. Anyway, not to get off into, you know, my therapy sessions or whatever, but one of the things it says in the book of Luke, Lucas 12:32 reads, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But in order for us to be able to inherit that kingdom, we can't be like our foreparents. We can't be these stiff-necked, hard-headed people that Abba could not, for any reason, could not build. And you know, the biggest thing that our foreparents lacked was faith in him, faith in Yahweh. That was the biggest thing out of all the things that Abba could not tolerate from Yisrael, was the fact that whenever situations came, quail, we ain't got nothing to eat out here. Oh, I wish, what was it? It wasn't enough graves out here in the wilderness that you took us out of Egypt so that we could die? Oh, the leeks and the cucumbers and all this that was in Egypt while you were in bondage. You were in bondage, but you could eat all the great vegetables you want. So Yahweh said, "You want some meat? I got you. You don't think I got meat? Oh, I got you. I'm bigger than Purdue Farms. You want some poultry? I got you." He said, he sent the wind. Wind came and all these quails came out of nowhere. And at first they were glad, but eventually was like, "Oh my goodness." He said, it started to come out their nose. Man, they ate so much of it that their stomach started getting them to eat. You ever eat so much of something? My father used to talk about the term called clawing, you know. Back in the day, we used to go get the biscuits from this one particular establishment, right? But you eat one, and it tasted real good, and you didn't want to eat no more. It was like a one-and-done type of thing. And that's what it came, that's what got, it got to the point where it was like, ooh, we don't want no more. We thirsty out here in the world. We going to die out here in the wilderness. The same God who parted the sea, turn the waters into jello on both sides so they could walk through on the dry land. That wasn't enough for them to know and understand. He can make water for us out here in the wilderness, in the desert. He could provide water for us. Look what got Moshe jammed up. "Speak to the rock, Moshe, and the rock will bring forth water for you and for their flocks. For you, for the children of Israel, and their flocks." They got so much under his skin, he said, "Must I forgive them?" And said he struck the rock. And Abba said, "Oh my goodness. Moshe, come here. You ain't making it in that promise land. You ain't honoring me. You didn't sanctify me." It even got to Moshe at one point. So life is going to get to us at some point. Life circumstances are going to get underneath our skin. But how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to navigate through those waters when you're that ship without that sail? Excuse me, I need to sip. Right? So again, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But he can't give you the kingdom in the state that you're in now, even especially as a believer. If you guys, my brother calls it isms and schisms, he says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He gave us the playbook. See, everybody wants to claim Yisrael, 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 Yisrael. Everybody wants to claim Yisrael. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Hebrew, Hebrew, Hebrew. All. But you know what he calls? He calls to be Hebrews and Israelites. To the contrary, he called us to be the opposite of how those people are at times. You know what he said? This will be the sign that ye are my taught ones. Ye are my students. Y'all sat at my feet. This is the one sign that you have loved one towards another. That's the sign of your studentship. That's the sign of your discipleship. Being a Hebrew Israelite don't mean a hill of beans in the eyes of Yahweh. This is why he went and got him some Gentiles, some Goyim. It's why he got them, because that ain't that important to him. He's going to keep his promise, absolutely yes, because he's a man of his word. But at the end of the day, trust me, he's willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of those that were natural born if they ain't the ones that's going to have the faith in him that he requires. Period. So anybody want to take pride? I'm a Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. I'm a Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. But you got none of the fruits of the Spirit. So what do it mean? You ain't representing him the way he expects to be represented. He wants fruit that are worthy of the kingdom. Not a bunch of posers. It ain't about being a bunch of posers, man. It ain't about posing with... Anyway, I mean, let's move on. Ephesians. Because it aggravates me to see how much pride people want to take in being a Hebrew Israelite. But you ain't really representing. Your outward appearance don't mean nothing. Not a thing. If you ain't really out there being a light to people, if you are leading or following somebody down a road of darkness, guess what? Take them off. If you ain't representing right, don't bother. Again, he don't want a bunch of posers. He wants real people that's going to represent him the way he deserves to be represented. Anyway, Ephesians, starting at 1:1, reading from the WEBA, Mishpachah. Paul, an apostle of Moshiach Yahushua, through the will of Yah, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Yahushua HaMashiach. So he's not just writing this to the people of Ephesus. He's writing this to anyone who has faith in Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. He says, grace to you and peace from Yah, our Father, and the Master Yahushua HaMashiach. Blessed be the mighty one and Father of our Master Yahushua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. So think about that first and foremost, family. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is what the word reads. But he's talking to the people at Ephesus, okay? The Goyim, the Gentiles. He ain't talking to the Hebrews. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without defect before him in love, having predestined us for adoption as children through Yahushua HaMashiach to himself, according to the good pleasure of his desire. And what did Yahushua say was his good pleasure? That we receive the kingdom. But we can't receive the kingdom, even as believers, in the current state that we are in right now. Not back then, right now. Because if you are not showing forth your discipleship through your brothers and your sisters with true, sincere love, without malice, without contention, without strife, then you ain't worthy. You're going to call it as it is. You ain't worthy. I'm not worthy. We are not worthy. Because we are not being true disciples if we do not have that. 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Excuse me, family. Still suffering with allergies and stuff and this nasal stuff. To the praise, back to 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he freely gave us favor in the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, to an administration of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Mashiach, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him, in whom also we were assigned an inheritance. See, the kingdom, just like the promised land, not that land that people over there is fighting for, killing for. That ain't the promised land. And even if you believe it is the promised land in that sense, guess what? He says he's bringing back a new heaven and a new earth, and he's bringing down a new Yerushalayim to be the queen. So all that they over there fighting for is for nothing, nada. It's insignificant. Riding on a wannabe heritage. Talk about you hate us because you ain't us. Brother, you hated us because you could never be us from the beginning. The real people of the Most High. But anyway. Back to, I forgot what was that. I don't know, just go back to 1:10. To an administration of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Mashiach, the things in heaven and the things on the earth in him, in whom also we were assigned an inheritance, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who does all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be to the praise of his glory. Let me read that again. To the end, that's the goal. The goal is that we should be to the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Mashiach. In him, you also, having heard the word of the truth, the good news of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who is a pledge of our inheritance to the redemption of Yah's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Remember now, we done talked about, we his jewels. We his precious, we are his precious stones. We are his gold, his bling, his ice. First of all, why y'all think people wear jewelry? Nobody wears jewelry because they don't want it noticed. A woman doesn't wear earrings, a nose ring, because she doesn't want them noticed. Because otherwise she would go out with plain old ears on the side of her face. Brothers don't wear chains or rings or bracelets because they don't want them noticed. Not that everybody that walks out is like, yo, nice. Nice. Ooh, nice. Yeah, nice. Ooh, nice. Ooh, ooh, nice. Oh, that's nice. Yo, that's, oh, man, I like that. Yo, I'm feeling that, yo. Not that everybody's going to do that. But the one person who does that means that out of sincerity, it's like, yeah, that's why I wore it in the first place. Yeah, of course, to feel good. But you want somebody to acknowledge it. You want somebody to say, yo, I like that, yo. Or I don't know what the women say, girl, that look nice. girl, where you get them from? Had an encounter with a brother, and my brother noticed, gave him a compliment on what he had on. My brother knew, man, but your boy, the boy started bopping hard after you gave him that compliment. So Yahweh puts us on, or wants to put us on, so people can say, so that he can feel glorified in wearing you as his pinky ring, wearing you as his earring, wearing you as his necklace, wearing you as his ankle bracelet. That's why Yah puts him on. He wants something to be on those hands and those feet that were pierced for you. He wants to put you around that. He's already got his crown of glory that was given to him by his father. He already got that crown of glory. That crown of glory that he traded for the crown of thorns. So now he wants something for people to notice along with the piercing in his hands and his feet. And that's you. That's us. Romans chapter 9. And I'm no longer going to say, I'm going to try no longer to say, I ain't going to be that long. I'm going to be as long as Abba wish me to be. Be as long as Abba say, okay, you've done giving out the message I asked you to give out. That's when I'll be done. Anyway, Romans 9:1. I tell the truth in Mashiach. I am not lying. My conscience testifying with me in the Ruach HaKodesh that I have great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Mashiach for my brother's sake, my relatives according to the flesh, who are Israelites, who is the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the Torah, the service, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom is the Messiah, as concerning the flesh, who is over all. Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Did y'all hear that? He wants the Israelites, but if certain Israelites don't want him, and Paul even said, I wish, but Paul was accursed at one point. Paul at one point was the main one killing the Messiah's people. He was their chief assassin. He was their John Wick. Until Abba intervened in his life. But he said, amen, I would trade places with them. Because I want them to have this salvation. I want them to have this goodness. Paul, in other words, was saying, boy, you know what? Y'all Gentiles was cool, but I really wish my brothers and my sisters that were of the natural born Israel had taken advantage of this opportunity. But since y'all are doing it, here I am. I'm committed to y'all. And he was. Romans 9:6. But it is not as though the word of Yah has come to nothing. For they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Let's hear that again. For they are not all Israel that are of Israel. As he stated before, blood lineage don't mean nothing. Neither because they are Abraham's offspring. And at that time they know Sean was the father of this person, who was the son of this person. They knew their blood lineage. Paul back then knew and understood he was of Abraham's stock. Moshiach, we know, was on record that he was of Levi and he was of Judah. They kept very good records up until when Jerusalem was invaded and Judah was scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. They knew who their lineage was. But it's not as though... Neither because they are Abraham's offspring are they all children, but your offspring will be counted as from Isaac, the child of faith. Because remember, he had Ishmael, he had Medan, he had Midian, he had a whole bunch of children with Keturah. He only had one with Sarah. and he had one with Hagar. But only the one that he had with Sarah was the one that Abba said, you're going to have a child with her. We know what Ema Sarah did. Well, we doing all this work, but ain't no baby coming out of me just yet. Maybe he meant you should have Hagar. We know how that turned out. Then it wasn't until after Ema Sarah was passed on, and Abraham eulogized her, because that's what he did. Under Kayesa, he went over his life's experience with her. And after he closed out his life experience with her, he moved on and found him Keturah. And boy, did they have a bunch of children. Seven of them, I believe. No, it's five of them. Right? One of which became one of our cheapest enemies. Our own half-brother. The Midianites. Who was where Reuel came from, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. So we know they had got, he learned about the priesthood from him. But everybody ain't chosen. Everybody's not of the seed of promise, especially in the flesh, let alone the spirit. But anyway, 9:8, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of Yah, but the children of the promise are counted as heirs. Fear not, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's the promise. That's what we're waiting on. I hope that's what everybody's waiting on. And not a whole bunch of glory about living your life as a Hebrew Israelite. Nah, for this is the word of promise. At the appointed time, I will come and Sarah will have a son. Not only so, but Rebekah also conceived by our father Yitzchak, Isaac, for being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of Yah according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Esau, Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate it. This is what he's saying, right? He substantiated. Before they were even born, they was fighting. But Yahweh said, one of them, I don't care for him. I don't like him. He's not my chosen vessel. Out of the two that came out of the same matrix, came out of the same womb, one he loved, the other he despised his character, his ways. But they came out of the same womb. They came out of the same vessel. They were the seed of one man who was the chosen vessel. So the chosen vessel had two children. One was chosen, one was favored, one was not. They're brothers, twinsies. For not being yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose, of Yah according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Sirach 33:1-3, 13, as the clay of the potter in his hands, all his ways are according to his good pleasure, so men are in the hand of him that made them to render them according to his judgment. So he was the one who created them in the womb and decided from in the womb that there was one he favored and one he did not. Period. What you going to do about it? 9:12. It was said to her, the elder would serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yah? May it never be. See, sometimes we get caught up in our feelings now because we live in an era where, oh, this human rights, people got rights, we got rights. Yahweh didn't give a care about your rights. He still don't give a care about your rights. It's about his judgment, what he believes to be so. And we see that with all this that we have going on in the world, oh, human rights, oh, this right to do this. It ain't making the world no better of a place because they're not doing things based on the will of the Most High. It's based on what humans feel is best for humans. Like my man said in the movie, Devil's Advocate. I'm a fan of man. I'm a humanist. See, look what humanism is getting us. Look at what all these isms and schisms are getting us. But we're supposed to be so educated, so sophisticated, so advanced in our thinking. Well, where's all this advancement getting us but backwards? We're going retrograde. Because we're moving against the will of the Most High. Our intellectualism, our hedonism, and our materialism, this is what it's all getting us. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yah? May it never be. For he said to Moshe, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. That's what I do. That's me. Who my boss? If you don't like it, quit. 9:16. So does it sound harsh? Does it sound mean? Does it sound cruel? Is it pricking your heart in a way where you're like, oh my gosh, the Bible is hate speech? That's the way you want to interpret it, so be it. Yahweh don't care. The Almighty don't care. Neither do Yahushua. Because remember, he came not to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. He came to set at odds family members. You can't get no harsher than that. What we learned from Father Abraham. Yo, get away from your peoples, man. Your peoples ain't no good for you. Your peoples a bunch of heathens. Them peoples in all kinds of idolatry. I got a greater calling for you in your life. It's a rough thing to do. How many of us can walk away? Nah, because no, I'm not showing compassion. I'm not showing mercy. I'm not showing tolerance. You see, your mercy, your passion, your tolerance is just creating more problems for you because you don't know how to cut people off in your life. If they're not advancing you towards Yahweh, guess what? They're not doing you any service. They're only holding you down, dead weight. Sounds cruel, but it's true. We have a God who has a pattern of doing things that we look at as being unkind, unmerciful, and cruel, but it's for your betterment. But the problem is you can't see it sometimes, and you keep yourself in these predicaments. Doesn't mean to go out there now just cutting people off, cutting people off, cutting people off, cutting people off. But if they're not leading you down the path, understand this now, for those of us who are married to people who are not believers, if the unbelieving spouse wishes to remain with you, then you got to stay. Stand your ground. Stay in your castle. But if they choose now to remove themselves from your castle, by all means, do it. But Yahweh does not command us to leave. He says, if they go, let them. You're freed in that situation. But don't make it a miserable environment for them. Don't give them any reason to reflect on you and the God that you serve. Anyway, move on. 9:16. Romans 9:16. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of Yah who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I caused you to be raised up. You mean Abba raised up Pharaoh? Pharaoh, the one who enslaved us, the one who brought cruel bondage onto us, the ones who took the straw from the clay and made it harder for us to build all his cities? You mean him, Yahweh, raised up? You mean he raised up Nebuchadnezzar? He raised up all these individuals? Deuteronomy 30:28. You don't have to 32:8 rather. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Yisrael. So Yahweh know what he doing. You know, I remember a brother having a dream about seeing geometric figures in the sky and something else going on with it. I cannot remember. But when you look at the term geometry, geometry, it means to measure the earth. Yahweh is the one who apportions the land. He apportioned to the United States of America and all its states and its districts within its states, South America, Russia, China. It's hard to believe that Yahweh is the one who did all this, but he did. He's allowing it. P, whatever his name is, Kim Jong, all Yahweh is the one who set these men in their positions. Whether we like it or not, it's the truth. It's according to his will. Geopolitics belongs to Yahweh. He is allowing Satan to do what he wants with humanity. Those who wish to side with him, he is allowing that. Because at the end of the day, he wants people to serve him because they want to serve him, that want to do his will. So he's not going to force you. Now, 16. So then it is not of him who wills nor of him who runs for an office, but of Yah who has mercy. For the scriptures say to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I caused you to be raised up, that I might show you my power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. And isn't that what happened? Yo, Israel is coming, and their God is coming with them. Y'all heard about what he did to Pharaoh and the Egyptians? He took out the whole leadership. Them nations back then were shook when they saw Israel coming, if their God was coming with them. Remember what we read in Judah? You can't do nothing with these people if they're in right standing with this God, with their God. So as long as he's coming with us, and he ain't always coming with us, remember the men who didn't want to go, who talked bad about the land flowing with milk and honey, and then they said, no, we take it back. We're going to go up and fight. And Yahweh said, nah, don't go. I ain't with you. You weren't with me, I ain't going to be with you. You were supposed to stand with me when things look hopeless, when things look grim. But y'all came back and said, we look like grasshoppers, and they say, they look like giants. But then when y'all realized y'all messed up and made Abba angry, no, we going to go fight. And y'all was like, nah, I don't know. I don't want you fighting for me. Nah, you wishy-washy. Nah, you stay put. You can go out there if you want to, but guess what? You're going to get your behinds whooped. So then, 9:18, he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say then to me, why does he still find fault? For who withstands his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against Yah? Will the thing formed against him who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Will the thing formed ask him who formed it? Why did you make me like this? I've asked that question in my darkened state of mind. 9:21. Or hasn't the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel for honor and another part for this? See, we may not understand that they used to have back in the day what were called chamber pots. Before they had all this advanced plumbing and bathrooms and all this sort of stuff, you had a pot. Even now, you still have something that you sit on in order to handle the natural course of food that goes through your body. And even though you may not think about it, it is still a vessel that you need in your house. If it ever has gone up, become clogged, had a crack in it, wasn't running properly, and you needed to do what you needed to do in there, you realize how important it is. No, you're not going to cook with it. No, you're not going to eat off of it. But when you need it, you need it. Matthew 21, or hasn't the potter right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if Yah, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory? Within the temple, we had the brazen lava. We had the table of showbread, all made out of, we had the Holy of Holies, we had the menorah. All of them were made out of different things. The brazen lava was one thing. The table of the showbread was made out of one thing. The menorah was made out of one thing. But just because they were made out of different items doesn't mean they were less important within the temple. 9:23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Us whom he also called,
not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles? As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. What do you do with that, Hebrews and Israelites who believe that, oh, they were just people who lost their way? No, they were never part of the way, period. 9:26, it will be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living mighty one. 9:27, Yeshayahu cries concerning Israel, if the number of the children of Israel are as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant who will be saved. 9:28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because Yahweh will make a short work upon the earth. 9:29, as Isaiah has said before, unless the master of armies had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom and would have been made like Gomorrah. Isaiah chapter 29, family. Woe to Ariel, Ariel, the city where David encamped. Add year to year, let the feast come around. Then I will distress Ariel, and there will be mourning and lamentation. She shall be to me as an altar hearth. I will encamp against you all around you, and will lay siege against you with posted troops. I will raise siege works against you. 4, you will be brought down and will speak out of the ground. Your speech will mumble out of the dust. Your voice will be as of one who has a familiar spirit out of the ground, and your speech will whisper out of the dust. 5, but the multitude of your foes will be like fine dust, and the multitude of the rootless ones like chaff that blows away. Yes, it will be in an instant, suddenly. She will be visited by Yahweh of armies with thunder, with earthquake, with great noise, with whirlwind and storm, and with the flame of a devouring fire. The multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all who fight against her and her stronghold and who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. It will be like when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats, but he awakes, and his hunger isn't satisfied. I don't know if y'all ever dreamt about food like I've had. When you dream about food and you wake up and you're like, yo, man, ain't no food around here. I wasn't eating. But you got the taste of that food. I always seem to dream about Italian food. You get the taste of that food in your mouth when you're a fat boy and you go down and you're like, wait a minute. It's 3 a.m. Is there any spaghetti? Is there any chicken parmesan? Is there any Italian food in here? And you're like, oh, man, ain't no Italian food. It was all just a dream. That's what he's talking about. If you never had that type of dream, okay, but I'm telling you what it's like as a fat boy, that you dream about food and you wake, especially if you dream about food that you really like, and you wake up and you got a hankering for it, and you go down to that refrigerator and you realize, dang, it was all a dream. That food wasn't in it. That's what he's talking about. It will be like when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats, but he awakes, and his hunger isn't satisfied. Or like when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he drinks, but he awakes, and behold, he is faint, and he is still thirsty. The multitude of all the nations that fight against Mount Zion will be like that. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For Yahweh has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. All vision has become to you like the works of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is educated, saying, read this, please. And he says, I can't read it, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to one who is not educated, saying, read this, please. And he says, I can't read. Yahweh said, because this people draws near with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but they have removed their heart from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men which has been taught. Who they talking about? Therefore, behold, who's the seal breaker? Who teaches letters? Who opens the eyes of the blind? Who opens the ears of the deaf? Who gives the lame feet to walk? Who possesses the keys to the kingdom? 29:14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the understanding of their prudent men will be hidden. Woe to those who deeply hide their counsel from Yahweh, whose deeds are in the dark, and who says, who sees us? And who knows us? He does. He sees. He knows you. You turn things upside down. Should the potter be thought to be like clay, that the thing made should say about him who made it, he didn't make me? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Let's look at the term potter, because I found it to be very interesting. I was looking for the term to mean one thing, but Yahweh, as always, showed that the term means something absolutely different. Like when we learned about war, milkama, right? And it points back to the kneading of bread. Who would think that war and the kneading of bread would have significance? But see, Yahweh sees as we don't see. See, as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways from your ways. So the term for potter is in the Hebrew section is 3335 in your Strong's Concordance. And it says probably identical to 3334, and we'll look at that, through the squeezing into shape, compare 3331, to mold into a form, especially as a potter, figuratively to determine, that is, form a resolution. Earthen, fashion, form, frame, make, maker, potter, purpose, right? So let's look at 3334, right, which is where this word comes from, right? And it's a primitive view to press intransitively, that is, be narrow, figuratively, be in distress, be narrow, be straight, be straightened, in straits. Hold up, time out, wait a minute, be vexed. But let's look at in straits. What did we learn at the very beginning of this journey? What Mitzrayim meant, family? Double straits, to be in double jeopardy, double trouble. So you mean that the molder puts us in jeopardy, double trouble sometimes? As part of our molding, as part of our narrowing, he has to bring about distress? Look at what the Hebrew lexicon says about it, right? The Zadi and the Resh means to press. Enemy, abstracting, trouble, a pressing in or on someone or something. English, to soar or to store. You mean that sometimes it appears that Yahweh may be an enemy to us when he's molding us? That sometimes it seems like, oh, you turned your back against me? Doesn't say he's being an adversary to us, as in Satan. He can never be that to us. But he can sometimes be at odds with us in the sense of we are asking, well, what are you doing? If you never had an argument with Yahweh about your life, and I do mean an argument, don't mean you fussing them out or nothing like that, but if you ain't never had an argument with Yahweh about the direction of your life, you ain't living with them. You ain't living with them. If you ain't never asked them why, if you ain't never asked them why you doing this, if you ain't never asked why you left this, if you never had that experience with them, he ain't shaping you, he ain't molding you. That's part of the shaping and the molding, that you look at him and you say, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? What did I do wrong? I'm trying to live my life according to the way you asked me to live. And look at all them people out there. They don't care about you. They ain't thinking about you. But you're always in the forefront of my mind, at least 50% of the time of my life. That's much more than them. Why are they prospering? Why are they striving? While I'm struggling. But that's a part of this existence with him. At some point, you can ask that. 29:17. Isn't it yet a very little thing, and Lebanon will be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be regarded as a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind will see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Blessing. That he's turning a desert land, you, me, us, we, into fruitful spirits, into fruitful lands. Sorry if you heard my stomach growl. If you couldn't hear the word or the voice of Yahweh, and now you can hear it. If you couldn't see the wonders in the scriptures, but now you see it. If the word of Yahweh was once dark to you, obscure, but now you see it. That's the blessing beyond measure. Not what we have in this life. What we are promised in the life afterwards. See, those who get theirs now have nothing to look forward to. And it may sound like, oh, yeah. Go ahead. You can dismiss it all you want, but you know it's true in your heart of hearts. Deuteronomy 29:19, the humble also will increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless is brought to nothing, and the scoffer ceases, and all those who are alert to do evil are cut off, who cause a person to be indicted by a word and lay a snare for their arbiter in the gate, and who deprive the innocent of justice with false testimony. See, every time a false word goes out from one of these preachers, they are depriving the innocents of justice with their false testimony. Therefore, Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham, says concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no longer be ashamed, neither shall his face grow pale. But what? Neither shall his face grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in the middle of him, they will sanctify my name. Yes. Are you sanctifying his name? Are you regarding his name as sacred? Yes, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the Mighty One of Israel. They also who err in spirit will come to understanding, and those who grumble will receive instruction. See, those are the simple blessings, the little blessings that we overlook, that we have, that we take for granted, that he could take a brother like Ahab El, your brother Ahab El, those who have known me, and he can change them. There ain't an instant overnight change. He ain't just pop me in the microwave. He had to cook me at 400 degrees for 2.5 hours, turn me, baste me. Then he had to pull me out, put the temperature thing in me to make the thermometer, put the thermometer in me, make sure that my insides were cooked proper. And then he had to put me back in for a little while and baste me some more because I wasn't right. Cooking ain't easy. Getting cooked ain't easy. But it's necessary. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would tear the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. And when fire kindles the brushwood and the fire causes the water to boil, make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. How many of us don't wish for that? Especially in this wicked time, it's only going to get wickeder. When you did awesome things which we didn't look for, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. Just reflect on your life at the awesome things that you... Even if you're in distress, the awesome things that Abba had done at one point, don't forget that. It wasn't always like this with him. Don't forget that. 64:4. From of old men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a mighty one beside you who works for him, who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness. Those who remember you in your ways, behold, you were angry and we sinned. We have been in sin for a long time. Shall we be saved? For we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness is like a polluted garment. Reads better in the King James, and we understand it a little bit better. Filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Take us away. There is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have consumed us by the means of our iniquities. But now, Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are the work of your hand. Don't be furious, Yahweh, and don't remember iniquity forever. Look and see. We beg you. We are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness, have they not? Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation, have they not? Our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praised you is burned with fire, and all our pleasant places are laid waste, are they not? Will you hold yourself back for these things, Yahweh? Will you keep silent and punish us very severely? Well, we know the answer to that, but it ain't going to be forever. Jeremiah, 18th chapter. Let the potter do his work. The potter is doing his work worldwide. Worldwide. He's doing it with us individually. He's also doing it worldwide. Let him do his work. Don't get involved in some of this stuff. Jeremiah 18th chapter. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was making something on the wheels. So look at what he got to do sometime. You ever see that? If not, go watch a video of old school pottery making. And they had that wheel. Squeaky, 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 squeaky. They got to get the wheel turning. Then they got to get the clay on there. Well, the clay is already on there. If the clay on there, then they get the wheel turning. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. Then they get their hands wet. Squeaky, 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 squeaky. It's turning around. And they're shaping. They're putting their hands in the middle of it, putting their thumbs in the middle of it, putting their fingers. And once they get that technique, it looks so beautiful. They take their hands and they make it, and they shape it into the vessel that they want. But see, it's not done yet. See, that's only one part of making that vessel. Then after you do that, you've got to put it in the kiln. You've got to put heat to it to now harden it, to galvanize it, to make it strong. And you have to put heat to it, because if you just leave it out and you don't put the wet clay into the kiln to heat it up, to make it harden into that vessel, you know what will happen to it? It'll start to get fungus and all this sort of stuff around it. And in some instances, it might even start to grow stuff out of it. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was making something on the wheels. When the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Oh, man, this ain't come out the way I envisioned it. So now I got to. Beat it back down into a plain old lump and start all over again. Get my hands dirty, get my hands wet, get the wheel to spinning. 18:4. When the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then Yahweh's word came to me saying, house of Israel, can't I do with you as this potter, says Yahweh? Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, house of Yisrael. At the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it. If that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. At that instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant. If they do that which is evil in my sight, that they not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good which I said I would benefit them. Now therefore speak to the men of Yehuda and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Yahweh says, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a plan against you. Everyone return from his evil way and amend your ways and your doing. He's given us an opportunity all the time to repent, to do better, to get back to where it is. Take it on, not just as a nation, but each individual he's talking to. But they say, it is vain, for we walk after our own plans, and we will each follow the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, Yahweh says, ask now among the nations, who has heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Will the snow of Lebanon fail from this rock of the field? Will the cold waters that flow down from afar be dried up? For my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to false gods. They have made a stumble in their ways, in the ancient paths, to walk in byways, in a way not built up, to make their land an astonishment and a perpetual hissing. Check out what's going on in our own little city here in Baltimore. You don't see a lot of others, but perpetuating, even the parents are crying. One parent said, arrest my child, please. I honestly believe the government, from the governor on down, want to see young black souls destroyed. There's no other reason for them not enacting a state of emergency to save some of these souls. And the sad part about it, we can't blame the others. We can only blame ourselves. You got parents crying out now. My children, I can't control my child. What? But that's where we are as a society now. I used to think I was so naive. It was because they ain't got fathers in their life. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. One of the fathers begging, please arrest my child. Please put my child in jail so that they could. Could you imagine that? They want their child to go to jail so their life can be spared, so they won't be lost to the streets. What is that saying? Anyway, for my people have forgotten me, 1815. They have burned incense to false gods. They have been made to stumble in their ways, in the ancient paths, to walk in byways in a way not built up, to make their land an astonishment and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who pauses thereby will be astonished and shake his head. All you got to do, I'm not going to suggest that. But look at where our culture is going. Hip-hop that I grew up having a great affection for and love for has led to the destruction of our people. And it's creeping into the music of the people of Yahweh. And it's going to end up corrupting the people of Yahweh the same way it has corrupted the people of the black community. 1817, I will scatter them as with a east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back, not the face, in the day of their calamity. He said, I'm turning my back on y'all. Then they said, come, let's devise plans against Jeremiah, for the Torah won't perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let's strike him with the tongue, and let's not give heed to any of his words. 1819, give heed to me, Yahweh, and listen to the voice of those who contend with me. Should evil be recompensed for good? For they have dug a pit for my soul. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what's coming out of his mouth. Listen to what is in his heart. Listen to his cry out to Yahweh. Hear the spirit behind what he's saying. Should evil be recompensed? I'm doing good and you're recompensing evil towards me? For they have dug a pit for my soul. Remember how I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine. Hear what my brother said last week? Don't always pray good prayer. Sometimes you got to pray against the enemy. Destroy the enemy. They coming up against your child? Destroy that person who's coming against your child. They coming against you? Destroy the enemy that's coming against you. Because there's a spirit and intent. They want to destroy you. Don't. See, this is the problem. We've been dumbed down by Christian doctrine that says, oh, hit me again. Oh, kick me. Oh, stomp me out. Oh, curb stomp me. Oh, kick me. Oh, spit on me. No. That is what he was called to do. But he says in the scriptures, he told him, if you got a wallet, buy something to defend yourself. Don't just allow yourself to be a victim. Why would he tell us that if we're supposed to just turn the other cheek? No, he said with your brother, you should allow forgiveness against your brother. But don't get it twisted. That's Gandhi's teaching, all that garbage. That's their teachings. That's heathen, paganistic teachings to just lay down. And so Yahweh said, look, if I'm with you, fight. But if I ain't with you, if you ain't been obedient, don't go out there and fight. If you know this punishment is coming on you because I'm punishing you, a lot of punishment to be. But he ain't say that for every instance in life. He says, therefore, 21, deliver up their children to famine and give them over to the power of the sword. Kill them! That's what he's saying. Let their wives become childless and widows. Sounds cruel, sounds harsh, don't it? Let their men be killed. Sounds cruel, sounds harsh, don't it? And their young men struck by the sword in battle. Sounds cruel, sounds harsh, don't it? But that's his prayer. Let a cry, 22, let a cry be heard from their houses when you bring a troop suddenly on them. For they have dug a pit to take me and hidden snares for my feet. Yet Yahweh, you know all their counsel against me to kill me. Don't forgive their iniquity. Don't blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. See, know how to apply the word. In all instances where you guys, I'm going to pray for him because he's trying to do harm to me. No. That's not what we call to do in all. Know and discern the instances. Deuteronomy 30:32, starting at verse 1. Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the word of my mouth. This is Moshe. My doctrine will drop as the rain. My speech will condense as the dew, as the misty rain on the tender grass, as the showers on the herb. For I will proclaim Yahweh's name, ascribe greatness to our mighty one. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a mighty one of faithfulness who does no wrong, just and right is he, period. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are not his children because of their defect. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Is this the way you repay Yahweh, foolishness and unwise people? Isn't he your father who has brought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of the men, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. Last few scriptures, family. Wisdom in the Apocrypha 15:7 reads, for a potter kneading soft earth laboriously molds each several vessel for our service. Nay, out of the same clay does he fashion both the vessels that minister to clean uses and those of contrary sort, all in like manner. But what shall be the use of each vessel of either sort? The craftsman himself is the judge. Sirach 33, starting at 10, ending at 13. And all men from the ground, and Adam was created of earth, in the abundance of his knowledge, the Master Yahweh distinguished them and made their ways various. Some of them, 33:12, some of them he blessed and exalted, and some of them he hallowed and brought near to himself. Some of them he cursed and brought low. So when you think about this, some of them, he said, some of them he blessed and exalted, the kingship. Some of them he hallowed and brought near to himself, the priesthood. Some of them he cursed and brought low and overthrew them from their place, all the nations. As the clay of the potter in his hand, all his ways are according to his good pleasure. So men are in the hand of him that made them to render them according to his judgment. Shalom, family. Shalom. And again, you know, I pray if you have any questions or comments, please reach out to your brother Ahabel. If there's anything that I said to offend you, I pray it did not, because all I did was read the word of Yahweh for the most part. And I hope everybody understands that the word of Yahweh sometimes, it ain't all what we've been taught. It ain't all what we feel it should be. It is what it is, period, point blank. But by all means, call me. Let's talk about it. If there's anything you misunderstand, please, if you don't feel comfortable calling me, call another brother that's comfortable. And if he does anything he can't answer about the lesson, by all means, he'll reach out to me, and then he'll answer you. All right? But anyway, Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words, Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, the trustworthy and compassionate king. Baruch atah, Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, O Abba Yah. We thank you, Father, for the many things that you have done within our life, Father. The things that we know and understand, and the things, Father, we have yet to come to that understanding, Father. We thank you for the great. We thank you for the small. We thank you for your mercy, Father, for allowing us, Father, another opportunity, Father, to see the sun rise, and we pray that you allow us to see the sun set and give us another day. Look after all of us, Father, who are ailing, whether emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or physically, Father. Look after us with loving kindness, Father. And Father, even though you may tarry in your healing, Father, give us the understanding and the wisdom, Father, to know what it is that you're doing in our life, Father, and help us to learn the lessons, Father, and those lessons that they become the blessings, Father. Father, those of us who will be traveling, Father, please send your traveling mercies with all of us, Father, so that we can arrive and return to our homes in safety, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of thy Son, Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, that you give us, Father, all that you have for us in due time. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs.
Give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi.
And we give you glory. We lift your high in all the earth.